So I bring you greetings this morning from Unitarian Universalist Church in Annapolis, Maryland, and I am the Associate Minister of Outreach, Leadership, and Evangelism. That's right, I said evangelism. And it may sound funny coming from a Unitarian Universalist, but evangelism means to tell the good news, and there's some good news to tell about this faith and what it does for people's lives. Langston Hughes was an acclaimed poet and author and playwright and social activist. He came upon the American scene during the Harlem Renaissance, a time when African American culture was really expressing itself in New York City. This poem that was written is one of his more simpler forms of poetry. In fact, Hughes was criticized by his contemporaries for its rudimentary style. But to me and for us today, I could not disagree more. Because these words speak to the heart. They speak volumes. They are telling us about a world as it should be, over and against the world as it is and as it was. For in Hughes's world, democracy was failing. Segregation was still the norm. In fact, Hughes wanted out of the American dream. He sympathized with communists and McCarthy. You know how that went back then. He called him in, asked him many questions. He was let off, and he had a softer tone after that. But he still was sympathetic to the ideas of socialism. In fact, Dr. King was too. And he would always say that communism's rise was the result of democracy's failure. Communism's rise was the result of a declining democracy. Democracy is great because it symbolizes freedom. This poem, if you look at it again, it's about freedom. Now, freedom means many things to many people. For someone who is a slave, freedom means, you know, get these chains off of me. It's freedom from bondage. For Hughes, it was about freedom to, you know, go to whatever restaurant he wanted to go to or hang out wherever he wished to hang out. It's a kind of physical freedom. But it was also an intellectual or ideological freedom, too. Intellectual freedom is that grand idea of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It can be described in many kinds of ways. But we know, ideologically speaking, when this kind of freedom has been infringed upon, because it feels as if someone has taken something from us. It feels as if, you know, someone or something has not recognized our full humanity. And then there is freedom expressed as inner peace or as a mental or spiritual state of mind. Now, you can achieve this kind of freedom no matter where you are, no matter your physical condition, because again, it's a state of mind. It's a mindset. It's a spiritual discipline. And in some ways, I guess Hughes is referring to this kind of freedom too. But the point here is that human beings desire to be free. It's innate. It's natural. It's the essence of what being human is all about. Humans will fight and fight and fight and fight until they are free. And I will be bold enough to say that we will not fulfill Langston Hughes's dream or Dr. King's dream until all human beings are free. Until, as Betsy Jo Angerbrandt wrote, all the peoples of the earth know deep inside their precious worth. When every single soul is free, then we'll earn the name humanity. I like it because it says, earn the name humanity. We got to earn it. And freedom looks different all over the world for many people. But we all want the ability to choose our destiny, to truly be masters of our fate and captains of our soul. Now, you might ask, well, what impedes this process of people being free? Well, oftentimes people and their institutions are the cause. People become too controlling. They become vested in the idea of controlling other people or other resources. I always say the best part about life, people. The worst part about life, people. And what happens again and again when people try to control other people, get overly controlling? What happens again and again? Absolute power corrupts? Absolutely. No, slavery in America, actually, before it became slavery in America, it started as indentured servitude. People could come, work a certain number of years, black or white, and then you were freed and you were given a certain amount of land to raise your family. Now, this happened for many years before the transatlantic slave trade. But what happened? People, supply and demand, greed, fear, racism, reared its ugly head, and then a brutal system was created that denied human beings their God-given rights. See, this simple poem by Langston Hughes is saying that sweet freedom's way is a path toward allowing people to choose their fate freely. What the Christians call free will. And you cannot do this. You cannot choose life or death or God or family or Democrat or Republican or libertarian or anti-this or pro-that. You cannot do this if you are not free to choose. That is the beauty of democracy. It's still the greatest system on earth, but it can fail, and it has failed us when those in power become drunk with the wine of their power and place. And then, of course, they under-legislate or over-legislate, and you know, we begin to forget about the issues of equality, freedom, and justice for all people, that people have the right to choose their own fate. And then, as Dr. King said, we become too thing-oriented and not people-oriented. This happens over and over again in our world. People become too thing-oriented and not people-oriented. Then avarice and apathy rear their ugly heads. People become control freaks and power-hungry savages. Where am I going this morning? I don't know. What's the answer to that? Well, the church is supposed to be. Historically, the church is sort of the antagonist to that belief system. The church, the moral and spiritual voice for the greater good. The place where we're reminded it's not about things, it's about the people and their relationships with each other and spiritual matters of the heart. That's the reason I became a minister. I love the fact that in my job I could remind myself and other people about, you know, their bonds with each other, to remind people of their sacredness, their interrelatedness, their connectedness to and with all things. That's what coming to church is all about. We come to church to remember, remind ourselves to forgive and let go. We come to stand in solidarity with each other, to stand on the side of love. We come as a community who believes in freedom. We come and we have that expectation that everyone is striving toward their higher ideals. We also come as broken people seeking forgiveness of ourselves and of others. And through our handshakes and our hugs and our smiles and our kisses and our cries, we forgive and are forgiven, and we're able to move on. We come to this place to get transcendent. You know, transcendent means to go beyond ourselves, to go beyond the self, and go up, up, up to that higher place of consciousness. That place where we can't just survive. Well, it's not about survival, but it's about thriving. However twisted, you know, a lot of people don't come to church because the church history is, you know, there's some crazy stories. But that for me has been the idea of what the purpose of church has been, regardless of the theology and the contradictions. This is the idea of church. Now what about this church, Rockford Unitarian Universalist Church? You have a mission. I read it. It's on the back of your order of service. Correct me if I'm wrong. It says this. It says, guided by reason and love, we are a liberal religious community inspiring people to transform our world. Oh, that's powerful. You sure you want this as your mission? Because when you write something and you believe that this is who you are, you walk into this reality, because I'm here to commission you and to tell you to live into your mission. Inspire. In the Spirit. You look that word up, it talks about the breath of God. Breathing life into something. Inspiring, breathing life into people so that they can transform, change, form, metamorphosis, so that people can change form, change their lives, turn their lives around. We are here to save lives. You sure? Because I'm looking around this place, you know, I came a long way. I was expecting every seat to be filled. When I read that, I said, oh boy, they're going to be bursting over the seams with people. In fact, this seems to be the story of our faith. Well, we have these powerful missions to transform ourselves and others, and we don't share it. I told the people in the first service, if you like what you heard, get on the phone, text somebody, call somebody, invite them to church. I have a whole family here today because of my life partner, Joni. We went to visit some friends. Say hi, wave. Yep, see that? I'm embarrassing them. You see how they got here? Hi. You all should come to church. You should come to my church. I sat and listened to them for a day, and they were one of us. Their values and beliefs, and didn't surprise me, because people have spheres of influence. Now, if Joni shares these values, of course her friends are going to share these values. Invite them. I could go into a long story to tell you how this faith saved my life by giving me a purpose. To whom much is given, much is required. I do this because this faith gave me a reason to exist. Now, maybe it didn't do that much for you. That's fine. But when you invite someone, you have no idea how that's going to transform their life. And keeping it to yourself, how can you keep this message to yourself? So we have a mission statement at my church, too. The Unitarian Universalist Church of Annapolis exists to inspire, your word, and empower all souls to live bold and compassionate lives. It's not about language or musical lyrics and all the stuff we argue about as Unitarian Universalists. This mission at my church and your church, these missions are about expressing freedom. Expressing your freedom and helping other people to express their freedom. Critical missions that we have. For these missions are telling us we are not slaves. Physically, mentally, or spiritually, we are free and we are emboldened to share our freedom Go out and manifest your greatness. Live into your greatness. Go out and breathe life into others and help them to breathe life into others, to inspire. Now, we have bold in our mission statement. I like bold because bold means to be confident, to take risks, and to be courageous. I like bold because when you are working on a paper or something and you want something to stand out, you highlight it and you push B for bold. You want it to stand out. Boldness. Go stand out because you are a unique manifestation of the cosmos. You don't have to shrink yourself. Which reminds me of a poem by Marianne Williamson, Our Deepest Fear. Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant and gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? Your playing small does not serve the world. There's nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We are all meant to shine. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. And it's not just in some of us. It's in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. This is the kind of boldness that I'm talking about, my friends. That kind of boldness that inspires and transforms people. We don't need you to be scared. Not today. Not in this world. Or stingy or fearful. No. Or overly cautious. Timid. That's not the mission of our faith, nor is it the vision of our grand universe. All I have to do is pick up a book and see what the Hubble telescope shows us. You scientists already know, it's beautiful. It'll make you sit back and just say, you won't know what to say, because you witness what you are as you look, that you are one speck among trillions of specks. That you are in constant motion, that you are part of something that is expanding, and they say the dark matter never stops expanding, and which means as it continues to expand, it continues to create and recreate. And as one sun goes out and becomes a black hole, then it becomes something else. It is not a sun, it is now a black hole. I don't know if I'm right with the science stuff, I don't care, but I do understand the process. Humans think things are linear. No, they are ever evolving, ever changing. There's something the Native Americans said about that hoop. Something very strange how we have the sayings, what goes around comes around. You reap what you sow. Very strange how there seems to be a lot of power in circles. Because it is the message from the cosmos talking right to us, telling us who we are. We're ever changing, ever rearranging. That's what the definition of liberal is. Look it up. Liberal means you go with the flow. You know that change alone is unchanging. And so I don't understand how some of us get stuck. I don't. We are constantly in a cycle of rebirth as our skin, even the skin on our bodies, sheds monthly or however often it does. We get new skin. Everything is growing and dying and growing and dying. That's the sound of the cosmos. That's the sound of life. And when you work against that flow, when you work against that natural flow of the universe, then you become death, not life. We are life. We are eternal life. And I say to you, choose life. Now, I'm not even talking about these decaying bodies. You know, I got to sleep with a machine now. Decaying body. My hip is bad. I'm not lying. I have to sleep with a machine. My hip is bad. My lower back hurts. I recognize that my body is decaying and getting older, but I am not the sum total of my body. I am consciousness. That's what Joseph Campbell said. He said, well, what happens, Joseph Campbell, when you die? He said, well, you know, my body's giving away, and I'm like, oh, there goes my shoulder, oh, you know, but, you know, consciousness goes back to consciousness. What are you talking about? We are something above our thought. We are it, and it is us. Now, that's hard to kind of take in, isn't it? I'm going to tell you something what happened to me. I was sitting in my house one night. I didn't say this in the first service, but this is the one that's recorded, so, you know. I was laying in the bed one night after having one of these thought consciousness thoughts, you know. And I was laying in the bed this past week, and I was thinking to myself about the circles and everything and how, you know, we're interrelated with everything. Just trying to think the essence of what we are. And I couldn't remember as I laid down from my perspective which direction the planets went around the sun. So I said to myself before I went to sleep, I'm going to look it up on Google in the morning. The next morning I got up and I made myself some breakfast and I sat down with my cup of coffee and I went to my computer to go to Gmail and typed in google.com and there was this picture of the sun and the planets rotating counterclockwise. My answer was right there and I couldn't believe it. And I cried. It was just overwhelming. I couldn't explain it. No words could capture that feeling. That consciousness somehow is connected to consciousness. And I still can't explain it. But I know. I know. You want to be free. Choose risk. Because when you choose risk, you have overcome fear. When you've overcome fear, my friends, you have entered into eternal life. Each time you choose abundance over scarcity, you enter into a state of eternal bliss. I've been reading a lot of Deepak Chopra. I think he's having an effect on me. He talks about choosing freedom over fear and scarcity. Listen to this. I'm tempted to use my Deepak Chopra voice, but I don't want to get anybody upset with me. How do you know when you are free? You know you are free when you feel happy and at ease instead of fearful and anxious. You know you are free when you are independent of the good and bad opinions of others. When you have relinquished the need to seek approval. You know you are free when you let go of resentments and grievances and choose to forgive. You are self-referred and not object-referred. In the object-referred world, you are led by the ego. The ego is time-bound, temporary, fragmented, fearful, self-centered, self-absorbed, and too attached. What the world calls power is really fear that leads to manipulation and control of others, which in turn leads to violence and suffering. But real power is the power to transform, the power to create, the power to love and heal, the power to be free. I want you to go out and be bold and compassionate. Go out and inspire. Now, compassion means you are generous with your time, talent, and treasure. Compassion convicts you to want to do something for someone else. You don't feel obligated, but when you're free, you feel in a glorious way that you want to share what you have with others. Compassion. You're generous with your spiritual and material prosperity. And there's a strange mystery in the universe. The more you put out and give and share and love and express that love, the more comes back to you, even though you don't need it. See, my faith, our faith is struggling because we're holding too much in. We got to let it out so it can come back. People should be coming here in thousands of thousands, city to city. Because we have a very powerful message that can literally save humanity, I'm telling you, the worth and dignity of all, justice, equity, and compassion in human relations, that we are part of an independent web of existence, that we are one, we are not separate. What other message is there, my friends, on this planet? Somehow, God, Spirit, it, life, has given us this heavy weight to bear. And to whom much is given, much is required. That is why I've started Awake Ministries. Awake Ministries is an offshoot of our church in Annapolis. It consists of a weeknight worship service, contemporary worship service for younger people. It also consists of life coaching around emotional literacy, a prison ministry around emotional literacy, and other emotional literacy programs. We're hoping to inspire, empower, and transform souls, people. I find it interesting that on my Facebook, Awake Community, facebook.com/awakecommunity, of the 500 likes that I have in the course of maybe a month, which is pretty quick, the strongest demographic are kids 13 to 17 years of age. I'm using that symbol that you all use, well, my version of that symbol you all use, of coexist. That's the essence of what we are, coexist religion. And people from all walks of life, ages and races, as I can see, get it. But unfortunately, when they come experience us, they experience one version of what Unitarian Universalism is. I am going to give another version of our faith that matches who I am. So the music will be very different. It'll be contemporary. Stuff you might hear on the radio. We'll have healing in our service, where people hold hands and ask for prayers. We'll have life coaching in our service, where life coaches talk about how people can live into their greatness. And that level of emotional literacy that we're going to be utilizing in the service will also be the same emotional literacy that we'll be using in the community. We're also promoting this specifically to people of color, sending out 8,000 postcards to those people in those communities. Because if we're ever to become that faith that we say we are, we have to invite people from all walks of life, people from all socioeconomics, not just people who have 2 degrees or 3 degrees, or people who just listen to classical music, but people who listen to R&B and rap music. They count too, the worth and dignity of all. See, we can keep dreaming about this world. We can keep dreaming about how we want the world to be, but until we are willing to do something, nothing's going to happen. I'm not waiting for something cataclysmic to happen, for some grand figure to enter into the clouds and come through the skies and the organ plays. I'm not waiting for that, because God has empowered us to use our hands and our feet and our voices to make straight the path to justice. We have the world we have because enough people with the right thoughts and ideas have not spoken up. We surrendered the American dream, the dream of the world, to others. But I stand here as a man willing to live and die for what I believe in. Because I know to whom much is given, much is required. And I know that this little short journey in consciousness is but, that it's just that, a short journey. And that my life is much more than this flesh that I stand in. I dream a world. But black or white, whatever race you be, we'll share the bounties of the earth. And every person is free. Where wretchedness will hang its head and joy like a pearl attends the needs of all humankind. Of such I dream my world. Amen.